John 11, verses 17 to 44. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister, Mary, aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that you may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
Thank you, Corinne. It was good to hear that word from the Bible. And so we've started a series a couple of weeks ago called Living on Benefits, thinking and studying how the resurrection should affect us. I thought it was a great idea that so often we only preach on the resurrection on Easter Sunday and then we leave it till next year. And there's so much, as we shall see, on this. And last week, we looked at the subject, everything must be fulfilled, and before that, it was about hope. In fact, here is the series, Hope Restored, Everything Fulfilled, and in the next week we shall see intercession made, and so on. So next week is the anniversary of the Ascension of Jesus. It's Ascension Sunday, and Kath Bartlett will be bringing us the message, and we're looking at that, fling wide the gates. So I'm sure that will be worth seeing. And in the evening, Pastor will be continuing on Intercession Made. Let me encourage you to do your best to come and hear these series, because it can really change your life. It can do you good. And if you do miss one, you can always pick it up on the website afterwards and at least listen to it. I wanted to bring just this passage in Romans to you, and I wondered if I should. And when I took, my wife and I were praying this morning, my wife said, I've received this from Freedom in Christ. Let me read it to you. And what did she read but this passage? So this gives a summary, I believe, of what we're seeing when we speak about how does the death and particularly the resurrection of Jesus affect us. Just listen to it as I read it to you. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And that, I believe, summarizes what we should be gaining from God's word in Romans 6, verses 1 to 11 over the coming series. And I have to be honest, they say you must practice what you preach. I've got to say, I'm not there yet. It's my desire that I want to know more of that resurrection power of Jesus Christ to give me new life now. Let me encourage you, if you're in the life group, I've sent some questions, and I hope you'll take the opportunity to discuss this. And if you're not in the life group, Max here, and he'll be only too pleased to allocate you to a life group. It's a real benefit when we feed our souls on the Word of God, that benefits us all round. And as usual, of course, there are my notes available. I always make them available. And I do encourage you to spend a bit of time in the week. God will bless you and do you good if you meditate upon it. In fact, it's quite interesting. Some of you may know that I have my own database of the sermons that I preach. There's 1,500 of them in all. And when I came across this particular passage, I found the first time I preached on it was back in 1965 on Easter Sunday. And I've preached it another 11 times since. So this is the 13th time I've preached this particular, on this passage. Some of my earlier sermons, I don't think you would have been very interested in hearing, but that's another story. But I trust God will bless us. And so we're looking at this subject that we get from this passage where he says, I am the resurrection. We saw from the passage that Corinne read to us a very significant thing. It says, John records, now Jesus loved Martha, Mary and Lazarus. That's a very important thing to really keep in our minds. God loved them very much, and he loves each and every one of us just the same. Just as he loved the woman of the woman from Samaria, although she was a sinful woman and had led a bad life, Jesus loved her. He went out of his way to meet her And God wants to go out of his way to join with each and every one of us that we might reach them. And what's more, this wasn't the first time that Jesus raised anybody from the dead. We have the record. You remember that there was the Joseph who came to Jesus saying his daughter was sick and he wanted Jesus to heal his daughter. And while he was waiting, the woman touched him and she was healed. But the people came from his house and said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's died." They could believe that he could heal, but death, they felt, was going a bit too far. But Jesus said, "Trust and it will happen." And no doubt you remember how when he went there and they'd got all the professional mourners wailing and joining in, changed from wailing and mourning and being sad, and he says, they laughed at him. "Of course she's dead, and that's the end of it." But Jesus said, "She's only asleep." And he said, "Talitha kum." He spoke to her, and when he spoke, she raised up from the dead. And when Jesus speaks, the dead are raised. And then there was another occasion, you'll remember, when he was in Nain, and there was a funeral procession. A widow, so she'd already had one death in the family that had been a tragedy, and her only son was her support, and he had died. And there was this funeral procession taking him to where he would be interned in a tomb. And Jesus stopped and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." His word was enough that this man who was dead was raised to life again, and he handed him over to his mother. And so Jesus was certainly, we have those two records, and probably there were others. In fact, you'll notice that when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, he gave them authority to heal and to cast out demons, but it also, he said to them, "When you go out, heal the sick and raise the dead." Now, we don't know anywhere, have a record that Jesus, that the disciples raised somebody from the dead. But I believe if he said to them, "Go and raise the dead," when they came back, they didn't say, "Well, most of it worked out, Lord, but sorry, we didn't raise any from the dead." I believe everything that he said happened because they were rejoicing. They were so happy when they came back. "Even the devils," they said, "are subject to us." So let's recognize, because now we're getting near to when Jesus was crucified, of course, it's the last months of Jesus' life when this took place, that the disciples had seen certainly Jesus raise the dead, and had, some of them had probably even raised the dead themselves. And if you say to me, "Ah, well, that was all right for the disciples," remember the words of Jesus also in John 14, where he says, "Very truly, I tell you, that whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatsoever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." That's the promise that we've got, and we want to see it work out in our lives. So, I've used as the text that shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, and we'll come to it. Some ask, "Well, why did Jesus weep?" Because he knew exactly what he was going to do. Well, we'll see as we come through it. And so, first, there's a trial. Not the trial before the judge, but the trial in the other sense of the word. And we see it in this family. Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they lived in this place, the town of Bethany, just outside Jerusalem. And Lazarus became sick. I don't suspect immediately they were over-worried. At first, it was just one of those things. They thought, "Well, he'll soon get better." But obviously, his condition started to deteriorate. And when it got worse, they felt it was now time that they would have to send to Jesus. It's interesting to note that they actually knew where Jesus was. Remember, they didn't have cell phones that they could phone up and get in touch with him, but they knew where to send to know where Jesus was, who was quite some distance away. and they sent the message to say that Lazarus was sick. Sometimes when things go wrong, we wonder if we're out of the will of God. But we do see from God's word, John 16:33, where Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So these trials and problems that come our way, they are to strengthen our faith. We're asked by God to keep trusting him, even when we can't quite understand. And you've heard the saying, cheer up, things could be worse. So I cheered up, and things did get worse. And that's exactly what seems to have happened in this situation. They sent the man to Jesus, and while he was on his way, Lazarus actually died. And this is rather interesting because there's Jerusalem, and Bethany itself, where they were, is just outside. It's not shown on the map. But Jesus was probably in this Bethany. Some say there was another Bethany. Bethany, which is known as, or translated as, the house of the poor, was a name for at least three places and probably more. But because it says where John was baptizing, that was certainly on the other side of Jordan where Jesus was, about 20 miles away. So when someone was to travel to see Jesus, if he was a fit person and if he set out in the morning, he could make the 20 miles, talk to Jesus, and then get back the same day. More likely, sometime during the day, they realized Lazarus was deteriorating, and so probably about midday they would send somebody. He would get there in the evening. And notice, when he gets there in the evening, Jesus said he knew about it. And in John 11:4, it says, "When Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified in it.'" So you can imagine the person that took the message being overjoyed to say, "It's all right. Jesus has said it won't end in death." And very enthusiastically, he goes back and he arrives there only to find that Lazarus is not only dead, he's in the tomb. Because if you work it out backwards, Jesus, although he stayed a couple of days extra, by the time he got there, another day's journey, Lazarus, it says, had been in the tomb 4 days. So when they sent the messenger, Lazarus was still sick. But by the time the messenger came back with this word from Jesus, Lazarus was not only dead, but he'd been buried, because in the Far East, you probably know, they tend to bury them straight away. And so what he thought was going to be good news, in fact, things were worse. And it's something that we all find happens to us. That, yes, we get a bit of a trial and we're strong and we can manage that. And we think any minute now deliverance will come, and then things get worse. And that's what knocks us down. And this is what the whole subject of this is, that we need to grasp this warning. We still need to use our faith to trust God. You see, there was a purpose, as we can see in this. Jesus, when he healed the young girl, she'd only just died. Even the young man, he'd probably not been dead for more than 24 hours, no more than that. But now, you see, by Jesus delaying, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. There was a common belief that you might come back from the dead within 3 days, but after 3 days, that was the end of it. That was you were sure that they were dead, and that was completely the end. And so Jesus delayed it, I believe, so that they would know that this was an absolute and complete miracle in raising him from the dead. I wasn't going to say, but Jeff referred to this passage this morning as we looked at it. The words of Jesus, when Jesus was talking about going back there, the disciples said to him, "You're going back there. They tried to kill you." And of course, it was true that they were. And we shall see, they continued to decide that they wanted to kill Jesus. And Jesus said those words, which are in John chapter 11, verse 8. "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet are you going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." And my interpretation of this, for what it's worth, you accept it or otherwise, Jesus again, as he often did, uses something in the natural that we understand to help us understand something in the spiritual. In the natural, if you're going along in the day, you can see where you're going, you can see all the problems, and there's no difficulty. But if you're going along in the dark, you could easily trip over something and injure yourself. And he's saying, that's what happens in the natural. We all understand that. Now, in the spiritual, where we go, Jesus, you see, was guided by God. And so he knew that even though they wanted to get rid of him, they would not do it until it was his time. He would know where he could go. He would know where they were. And so we have this, if you like, the enlightenment of the Spirit that told Jesus and kept them safe until the appointed time. That's why he could say, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself." Jesus laid his life down. And so he was ready to come and minister to them. And why did he weep? He didn't weep because Lazarus had died. He wept because he saw the anguish. It says he was deeply troubled that had come to Mary and Martha and no doubt others. And I want you to remember that. They say there's no tears in heaven, and probably there isn't. But when Jesus was on the earth, certainly, he wept because he saw how they would struggle. So when you're really struggling in tribulation, when you're having difficulties and things are really pressing in on you, just remember that verse, Jesus wept. He sees you in your need and he is moved because of it. He doesn't want you to suffer, but he knows it's necessary to strengthen your faith. In the same way, it says when he looked over Jerusalem, he wept over it because he saw the destruction that was going to come when they destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. Jesus feels for us. His love is such that he doesn't want us to suffer. You know, for many people, the concept of God is there looking down on us. And he's waiting to see, there, you've got it wrong. Boomf, and he zaps us. That's their concept, that God is that sort of God, which is exactly the opposite of what he really is. But that's how the devil tries to distort things. God loves us and wants the very best for us. So he met Martha. Martha said to him, "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother hadn't died." He met Mary and she said exactly the same to him. They had a certain faith, but they didn't believe at that stage that Jesus could raise him from the dead. But of course, Jesus could, and he did. And so tribulation turns to triumph if we only trust Jesus. It says he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." It's a good job he said Lazarus, because Jesus had said earlier on, there's going to come a day when all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and they'll come forth to the resurrection, some to blessing, and some to damnation. So he called and Lazarus came out. In the custom of that day, he would be bound, much like a mummy. In the natural, he couldn't walk. So not only was it miraculous that he'd been healed and the corruption that may or may not had gone completely, but somehow or other, he glided out. And so he said, "Loose him and let him go." So that was the triumph that he experienced. What was the consequences of this? I'm afraid I've got to hurry through this, but let me encourage you to go through it in your own and pick out. There's so much in this that can bless us. The consequence was that many believed in Jesus. Here was a great miracle. He showed that he had the power over life and death. He said, I am the resurrection. And it says many of them believed him. But there's also this challenge that there were some. They didn't want to believe that this was a miracle. And what did they do? They wanted to kill Jesus. They took counsel and started to arrange. And from this time, they really started to move, not only to kill Jesus, but it says they were going to kill Lazarus as well to make sure there wasn't any testimony of what Jesus had done. And that's what we'll find. When the gospel is preached, we can't stay neutral. We either respond to it and are blessed by it, or we react against it and it makes things even worse. So let me ask you in conclusion, how do I react to trouble? Does it strengthen or does it weaken my faith? That's what testing and tribulation are all about. It's to strengthen our faith and give us a better experience of God and life in him. If you do want to have one of us to pray with you, my wife and I and Pete will be available to pray with you after the service if you'd like to take advantage of that. Thank you.